This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, congratulations. Once again, we have arrived at the weekend. The week of work is over and it is time to play. And we have so much great stuff tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show because your questions were incredible. Of course, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Two almost competing questions. Some guy says, I feel like this presidential term has already failed. We'll talk about that. Someone else is mad about people bailing early. One bad interview, that kind of a thing. Someone else wants to talk about Congress being in Congress, how it corrupts people. The government shutdown. Did we win? Did we lose? All that and so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin here, though, because it's been a rocky week and a lot of not so great things have kind of come down this week. A couple bad interviews made people mad out of the Trump administration. We are getting poll numbers showing some things that are horrifying, and we hope they need to turn around. Poll numbers, as in people prefer Democrats now over Republicans when it comes to the economy. Democrats have made huge gains. Republicans are way behind. This is on a generic ballot. On a generic ballot, Democrats are now polling 13 points ahead of Republicans. And we'll get into the reasons for that in just a moment. But I wanted to address this, guys. It's been a rocky week. Jesse, I'm concerned Trump's second term has failed. I believe Trump has run out of time to secure any wins. There's not much he can do without breaking the law, and he knows that. Basically, we have to shift focus to Vance. Now he's desperate, so are you able to walk me off the cliff, or is my concern valid? His name is Rob. Okay. One. It's not even been a year yet. And let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. A bunch of judges slowing Trump down, stopping him, kneecapping him, and Trump giving a couple bad interviews about bringing in more foreigners does not mean we're in some failed four-year thing. You could argue, if you want to look at this through really rose-colored glasses, and I don't know that this is inaccurate, you could argue that no matter what, the first year was going to be the worst year. And here's why. Let's focus on the judges. Remember, these judges keep making these illegal rulings whenever Trump tries to do something. No, we're going to stop that. We're going to stop that. They keep ruling against the president. Obviously, that's why these communists were installed in their positions. But the Supreme Court keeps ruling in our favor and keeps slapping these judges down, putting more roadblocks in front of them as we move on. The problem we have is things move slow. And I'm going to get to the polling here on the economy and why that is in a moment. But things in our system move slow by design. It's hard to turn this ship. A ship this size, a $20 trillion economy, a $300 million person country, it's hard to have that ship going in a different direction. It's not a speedboat where you just crank the wheel and turn it around. The first year is probably the worst year. Now, I understand that there's a chance, probably a decent chance, Democrats take back the House of Representatives in the midterms and promptly impeach Donald Trump every 15 minutes. I understand that. I got it completely. But even then, that doesn't stop it. And if I have to try to make you feel even better than that, you say maybe we're stuck. Maybe it's over already. Well, are you asking for legislation? Is that what you're asking for? That's what we run into a lot. People like you, people like me, political people, We think about legislation when it comes to, quote, getting things done. We need a law, a good law. And I know you have good ideas for laws, and we want single subject bills, and we want voter ID. And I got that. I know that. But we often talk about how we need a law. Let me make you feel better about this. Let's say Congress is completely gridlocked for the rest of Trump's 3 years. Maybe the votes aren't there for either party to pass anything. Is that a bad thing? How many times did I say underneath Joe Biden that it's not humanly possible for a Congress this rotten, this corrupt, it's not humanly possible for them to pass a good law? It can't be done, especially when we have teeny tiny narrow majorities in the House and the Senate. I realize the Senate, it's not that tiny, but we don't have 60 votes. That means in order to get a law passed, you need Democrat votes. You know how you get Democrat votes? Throwing horrible communism inside the bill. Do we want a law passed? If I pulled up my phone tomorrow morning when I wake up and I see they're working on a law, even a law that sounds good, that the headline of it sounds good, I'm not going to stand up and cheer. I'm going to go, oh, let's go examine all the crap that's in that. This Congress cannot pass a good law. So let's set laws aside. What do we have for the next 3 years? What do we need? We need Donald Trump to build a massive deportation machine. He is building it. We need Pam Bondi to chase down government corrupt people and send them to prison. Are we going to get that? Not super hopeful, but we'll see. We need Donald Trump. We need him to build the deportation machine. That's the main thing we need. Everything else, we can set that aside. The deportation machine must be built. Remember that he's not the end. He's the beginning of the America First movement. It will march on long after he's gone. When he's retired and golfing every day down in Mar-a-Lago, the movement must march on without him. It's not humanly possible to fix everything. No, we're not done. We need judges and deportations from him. We need arrests from Pam Bondi. Are we going to get all those things? Probably not, but we'll get something. Remember, under Joe Biden, I said the same thing. I'll tell you right now, we should be fortifying our own areas right now in anticipation of rocky times, which brings me to the polling I brought up about both parties. Now, Democrats have completely overtaken Republicans when it comes to confidence in the economy. I know, stop screaming that makes no sense. I understand that. Let me explain it. I feel like this might be our future for a very, very long time. Why? People are mad because of inflation. That's why people are mad. They think the economy is bad because inflation is bad, and they're correct about that. You know the whys. Set that aside. We have inflation because of government spending and money printing. Neither political party has the courage to stop that spending or money printing, which means that inflation will not go back down, ever. In the last 5 years, Americans lost 20 to 25% of their buying power. Maybe you're experiencing this in your own life. That will not be reversed by either party. What that means is the American people are always going to be unhappy with the economy. And whatever party currently holds the White House is going to be blamed for it. You can scream till you're blue in the face at all these normies and explain to them the who, what, when, where, and why, and the Inflation Reduction Act, and that you can try as hard as you possibly can. But the sad part of our system is politically uninformed people are really the ones who decide elections. It's not you. It's not me. Yes, we are the workers, the tip of the spear, if you will. We're the ones who bust our butts and get out the vote and fund these campaigns and all these things. Yes, we matter, but we don't actually win the elections. It's the kind of half-brain dead normie who votes Democrats one cycle, then Republicans, then Democrats. I don't know. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed today. I'll vote for communists. I don't really. These are the people who decide elections. To put it frank, morons decide who's going to be president of the United States of America. They do, Chris. They do. It's true. They do. People who never pay attention. You're here every single day paying attention, knowing the issues. You don't decide it. I already know who you're voting for in 2028, whoever the Republican nominee is. I know it and you know it. I'm doing the same. I'm not mocking you. It's the moron out there who's still undecided. He's the one. That's what we have to friggin' deal with around here. So I don't know if that made you feel better. Maybe it made you feel worse, but we still have 3 years. Be all right. Just make sure you've gotten a hold of LifeLock to make sure you don't get your bank account wiped out. We have enough economic problems without you waking up to an empty bank account and a $50,000 loan taken out in your name. People wake up to that every single day because of identity theft. Every day. It is one of those problems. It started popping up, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago you started to notice it. Now, it's one of the major criminal empires on the globe. Online identity theft. They want your data. They're after your data. How will you know? LifeLock will tell you. Hey, you need to be aware of this. And if they get you, LifeLock will make you whole again. LifeLock has America-based restoration specialists who will make you whole again. And they mean it. Guaranteed, or your money back. You want to save up to 40% off your first year? LifeLock.com. Promo code Jesse is how you do that. Or call 1-800-LIFELOCK, promo code Jesse. Terms apply. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I have second degree burns on my chest and my shirt is stained. And I'm blaming Ob for it. Telling you right now, she doesn't even know yet. She's out of town. So I'm telling you, before I even tell her, I'm blaming Ob. Here's what happened. Ob is a Christmas lover. Look, I'm a lover of Christmas too, okay? Thank you, Jesus, for coming to Earth. Thank you. I'm a Christmas lover too. I love the presents, the festivities, the music. I'm a Christmas fan. Ob is unable to hold herself back from pulling the trigger early on decorating the house. We have, just like you do, 3 or 4 tubs. Honestly, it might be 5 or 6 tubs of Christmas decorations in the garage. And I know at some point she's going to look at one neighbor, watch one Christmas movie in early November, and she's going to get the bug, the I need to decorate for Christmas bug. Okay, so this happened, what is the date today? I'm not even kidding, this happened about 10 days ago. 10 days ago, early November, Saturday, she looks at me and says, it's Christmas time. The boys and I looked at each other and said, please, no, but we were powerless to stop it. We had to go out into the garage, me and the boys, and pull down all the Christmas tubs. The one thing I will say in her defense is, being as how she's a detailed nerd perfectionist, she doesn't actually want any help except for the physical labor, pulling the tubs down, lifting stuff up. She really just wants you to leave her alone. Bring down the tubs. She's going to turn on Christmas music and you can just disperse. Sounds good. She decorates the house for Christmas. She was unable to control herself and pulled the trigger on a purchase in the grocery store. What was it? Disposable coffee mugs. We already have coffee mugs. We even have some disposable ones, but these ones were, of course, Christmas ones. We can't just use the regular disposable mugs. We had to go with the Christmas ones. Okay? All right? I wasn't going to put up a fight. They were on sale. No big deal. Disposable coffee mugs. I'm on the way to work. I decide I wanted to go cup of Joe. I use one of the Christmas mugs because not only did she set those out, she put the other ones away and I don't know where they are and she's out of town. I grab the Christmas cup, fill it up, take the lid, I put the lid on it. Now, I've been burned before. And I mean it exactly how I said it. So I don't want you to think that I was careless. When I put a lid on a coffee mug, I take time with it. I set it down. I'm pressing all around the rim. I make sure that thing is on there. It was on there. I get in my car. I start driving. I take one drink. I'm watching the road, so I'm not looking at the coffee mug. All of a sudden, the skin on my chest begins to melt. I feel like I can almost smell it boiling because the coffee is pouring out of the faulty Christmas coffee cup and right down my chest. Do you see this? You see, I'm wearing a white shirt. It's covered in one big coffee stain. I am on fire currently. My shirt is now half brown. I chose not to go back home to change. What difference does it make at this point in time? Nothing matters. I have torched my shirt and everything hurts. The only thing I have to look forward to now is going home and putting on my cozy earth robe. And that's what I will do for the rest of the evening. I am going to go home and take this shirt off when the show is done. And I'm going to put on my cozy earth robe and I'm going to sit down on the couch. And because no one is there to make fun of me, I'm going to use the bubble cuddle blanket that Ob uses all the time and put it over my legs, and I'm going to watch a World War II documentary like a 95-year-old man. I would highly recommend you get involved in all this cozy earth stuff yourself now that they're having a big Black Friday deal where you can save up to 40%. CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse is how you do it. You need the towels, the robes, the sheets, the everywhere pants. Get your wife the bubble cuddle blanket and only use it yourself when she's out of town. CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse. Jesse, why does our side give up so easy? You read a bunch of emails like, I hate Trump now and I want him impeached, so on and so forth. One bad interview and folks are ready to throw in the towel. Communists stick with their side until they want to. Okay, so here's what we have to understand, and what everyone needs to understand in politics in DC. They are the ones that need to understand what we're about to say. We are angry. The American right is angry about a variety of things, but immigration is something that we are furious about. Not just illegal. Legal immigration. We have watched now as it has reached a boiling point. Now people can't find jobs. They can't afford homes. They can't afford health insurance. We are angry. So politicians need to be very, very careful when they discuss the issue of immigration. And the problem is, and this has been a big problem in the GOP for a very long time, the wealthy businesses, wealthy business owners, wealthy people whose money we need to run, we need their money, we have to raise money from these people, they don't care about immigration. In fact, they love it, whether it's illegal or legal. I've told you what I ran into with the GOP when I ran for Congress. It was all they wanted to hear from me. They didn't care how pro-life I was, low taxes, spending. They didn't care about that at all. Hey, you're not really serious about stopping all illegal immigration, right? These were Republican money people. And when I told them in no uncertain terms that I was dead serious, they went shopping around for someone else who was a bit more pliable. Big money interests in the GOP do not feel like you feel about immigration. They are the ones with Trump's cell number. You are not. So while he understands the problem, addresses the problem, they're in his ear. Then he goes on the news and says, we don't have talented people here. It just came out wrong. It touched a nerve. People were mad. No, it's not time to throw Trump out. No, absolutely not. No. But he touched on a sensitive issue. You know what? I'll finish up on that. Hang on a second.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so?
Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, churning through all your questions and various things here. So the question was, I'm going to finish this up here in a second, move on to other stuff. You know, everyone's mad at Trump. Why are they so mad about Trump? Why are we giving up? One, you shouldn't be giving up on Trump. Trump's done a lot of very good things in the first year. Some things that are not good. He said some things that are bad. That's always going to happen. And it was a terrible interview. It's indefensibly bad. It's terrible. But no, it's not time to give up on it. But it also was understandable why that touched on such a nerve. And this comes back to actually, it's similar. In fact, it's identical to the foreign policy talk we've had many times before. You can get away with things in politics, foreign policy-wise, when domestically things are okay. The citizens of your country will let you go do your foreign adventuring all you want when they have food on the table, a job, when their basic needs are met. They're going to let you go. Even if they may disagree with it, it's not going to become a hot button issue. When you're out of work, when you're running up the credit card bills, when you're fretting about medical bills, when you're stressing about these things, the last thing people want to hear is how important it is that we send another $200 million to Ukraine. Even if it is super important, even if the point is completely right, people don't want to hear it. They don't care. They don't want to hear it when things are unhappy at home. And this is something that directly, it is 100% identical when it comes to the issue of immigration. Unless you're a communist who wants to burn America down, you don't want any more immigration into the United States of America right now. Not just illegals, the mass quantities of illegals. Why? Why has this become more of a hot button issue? Because the country was filled up, basically, during Joe Biden's presidency. Now people can't find jobs. Now things are dirtier, crime-ridden. They're murdering people on the highway with CDLs they got from California. The communists cranked the volume up on immigration to such a degree that now on the right, there is no appetite whatsoever for anything other than deport every frigging one of them. And the wildest thing is there is a long storied history of Republicans wrecking their careers over trying to be softer on immigration. Do you remember? Now, we all like Marco Rubio now. I have historically not cared for him that much, but I'm so impressed with Marco Rubio now. But if you've been paying attention to politics long enough, you remember when Marco Rubio first got elected to the United States Senate from Florida. Let me spoil it for you in case you don't remember. Marco Rubio was the hottest thing since sliced bread when he got elected to the Senate in Florida. He gave great speeches. He sounded like he was hardcore on our side. He's this young, handsome guy. He just popped immediately. Everybody knew Rubio. Everyone talked about Rubio. He was Rubio this and Rubio that. Everyone thought, wow, this guy's going to be a president one day, if not shortly. Then what happened? Marco Rubio, for whatever reason, signed on to an amnesty bill called, the Gang of Eight amnesty bill. There were a bunch of Republicans and a bunch of Democrats who came together and tried to pass. Of course, they called it an immigration bill. They always call it that. But every time there's an immigration bill, it'll be half border enforcement. The other half will be, let's give them all citizenship. Marco Rubio signs on for it. It didn't end up passing. It didn't end up going anywhere. It completely destroyed his presidential chances for 15 years. I don't remember exactly when this was. 10, 15 years, it destroyed him. He went from being the hottest thing to completely on the outs. Kept getting elected senator in Florida, but there was no more any appetite for him. They keep touching this third rail every now and then, and it burns them terribly. And for some reason, another one is always willing to step up and touch it again. Stop touching it. But like I tried to explain, it is conflicting messaging they get. Wealthy, powerful people, Republican and Democrat, wealthy, powerful people want foreign slave labor. They do. The communists want it because it burns the country down, and they know they'll rape and murder you, which is part of the communist revolution. But Republican business leaders want cheap labor. And I'm telling you, my dad ran a construction business. When I told you, when I graduated high school, it was about the time he started his own construction business. He'd always been in construction. And I worked with him when I got out of the Marine Corps. And I watched him go over this profit loss sheet. I watched him look at his books and talk to me about his books and how to read one. It's called a P&L. And you know what every single employer, including my father, looks at? Labor costs. We don't think about it that way, but they all do. Okay, we've got $100,000 coming in this year. Wait, we're spending $65,000 on labor. And you know what they all do? And it's understandable. You try to figure out a way to get that number down. Well, if you're not an uber patriot, or maybe even if you are one and you're a bit misguided, you know what could get that number down? Whew. You know what we need? Let's get a few illegals working the kitchen. We don't need to be paying these Americans $12 an hour, $13 an hour. Let's get some illegals in there for $5 an hour. That'll get that number down. You know what else we need? We got a bunch of entry-level tech people here. Let's just say we can't find any good people. Fire all the Americans. Go hire a bunch of people from India. That'll get that number down. Those interests are wealthy and powerful. And sadly, those are the people who throw $20 million fundraisers for House guys and Senate guys and guys who want to be president. I don't know how many $20 million fundraisers you've thrown for politicians. My number stands at zero. And I'm assuming it will always stand at zero. And money talks. Now, even if they hear you, no more immigration, none. Even if they hear you, I do have a big fundraiser in the Hamptons next weekend, and they think they're going to be able to bundle $5-10 million, and there's a lot of guys there. They want some more H-1Bs. There's an angel and a demon in their ear. You're the angel. The other side isn't. It is what it is. Jesse, during the entire period of the government shutdown, I heard arguments on both sides for doing away with and keeping the filibuster. I'm very much in favor of neither, but going back to the original stand and whatever, it was extremely frustrating that almost no one in the conservative media or Republican Party could make this argument. Why do you think that is? Nuking the filibuster, I understand why Donald Trump wants it, because he has a narrow majority in the House. He thinks the Democrats are going to take the House in the midterms. He essentially thinks he has 1 year to pass a piece of legislation. So he wants the filibuster nuked so he can pass legislation. I understand his motivation. It's very, very understandable motivation. It's a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea because nobody has brought forward a bill that would be a good bill that we would pass even if the filibuster was nuked. You don't do something drastic like nuking the filibuster so you can pass legislation unless the legislation you're going to pass completely kneecaps the other side from winning elections. If Democrats nuked the filibuster, if they did something like that, and they may very well do so, you know what they're going to do? They're going to do things that ensure we can't win elections anymore. Let's make Washington, D.C. a state. Let's lower the voting age to 15. You name it, the legislation they will pass will ensure their opposition cannot achieve power again. What are we going to do for that? What are we going to do? I haven't seen it. I haven't heard it. You tell me you're going to nuke the filibuster and that's going to result in you deporting 50 million people? Okay, I'm all ears. I haven't even seen anybody float that idea. Not one. All right. Let me float an idea to you. $19.95. I know it's not nothing, but it's also not the end of the world. $19.95. Are you in pain? The pain that sucks. Turns your life into crap. Your knee hurts all the time. You're always, your neck, you're rubbing your hands. Are you in pain? For $19.95, there's a chance Relief Factor can take it away. They sell 3 weeks of it, $19.95. That they're just saying, hey, try it for 3 weeks. It is drug-free. It is a supplement. Your body's natural response to pain, to that inflammation, needs a little help. Relief Factor is that help. 1995. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. Speaking of corruption in Congress, what if I'd been elected? Next.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Did you hear what Brooke Rollins said, Ag Secretary, about all these SNAP benefits?
The number is closer to 186,000 deceased men and women and children in this country are receiving a check. Now, that is what we're really going to start clamping down on. 500,000 are getting two. But here's the really stunning thing. This is just data from those 29 mostly red states. Can you imagine when we get our hands on the blue state data, what we're going to find? It's going to give us a platform and a trajectory to fundamentally rebuild this program, have everyone reapply for their benefit, make sure that everyone that's taking a taxpayer-funded benefit through SNAP or food stamps, that they literally are vulnerable and they can't survive without it. And that
I'm going to let that literally go. Because they're looking into it. That's the only reason I'm letting that literally go. See, you heard it too, didn't you, Chris? What did it add to the sentence? What did it add? Nothing. Nothing. Dear Private Bronco. It just came to me after you commented for the 10,000th time how members of Congress try to hold their seat with all their might for the love of money and power. Since you did not get elected, thank God. Have you ever thought about how you would have handled all the lobbyists and corporations trying to throw money at you for your vote? What was your internal thoughts of how you would have handled it and how you would have compared yourself to his name is Guy. Okay, Guy. So, I believe in God, as you probably have figured out. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. And I have watched in my 44 years... I have watched him look out for me in various ways when at the time it didn't seem like he was looking out for me. Could have gone this route. I really wanted to go this route. Oh, that turned out to be a disaster. Let me tell you a little story. I generally had to take the bus or ride my bike to school in the morning when I was a kid. Every now and then, it was very rare, every now and then, my dad would take me to school. My dad worked a lot. He was gone a lot. I didn't see a lot of him when I was a little kid. One morning, he was in the kitchen. He was usually gone by the time I was getting ready to leave. I was very young, 6-7 years old, I would guess. I'm begging him in the kitchen, can you take me to work? Can you take me to work? Can you take me with you? For me, it was everything. Get to hang with my dad, see my dad. I wanted it so bad. He takes off, says no. Takes off. Doesn't have time. It's snowing. This is back in Ohio. It's snowing. It's icy. It's really bad out there. He gets in a terrible, terrible car wreck. Totals it. It was an old Buick he was driving. Car slides into the opposite lane, and there is a large truck coming, head-on collision. My dad's head goes through the windshield, glass in his head, hospital, terrible, totals the car, right? Very, very lucky he didn't die. This town, this is in Toronto, Ohio. That's where we lived. This town had a habit of taking a bad car wreck, taking the car and putting it on display in the main drag in town, just as like a message to people, hey, be safe out there, seatbelts, that kind of thing. They put the Buick up. When I rode with my dad, I always rode right behind him. I sat behind the driver's side. That's where I sat. We go check out the Buick one day. There was the sharpest, most jagged piece of metal you've ever seen in your life that went from the driver's side door and went directly through the driver's side seat and the back seat. It would have gone right through my freaking chest. No chance of survival. Would have been dead because I didn't get what I wanted. I lost 2 congressional races. I wanted to go, and I thought, 20-some-year-old Jesse, 27, 28 years old,
I thought I was going to go to Washington, D.C. I was sure I was going to win. I thought I was going to go to D.C. and I was going to get all these commie scumbags in line, and I was going to save America. And I'd probably, of course, end up as president one day. Oh, I'd had all these thoughts in my head. Oh, of course, I'll probably be a senator and then president, and then I'm going to save America by myself. What if I would have turned bad? I think about that. What if I would have turned bad? Look, everyone, nobody thinks that about themselves, right? No, I would have been perfect, incorruptible. I never would have succumbed to this or succumbed to that or this lobbyist. That. No, I would never fall for that. Easy for me to say. What if I would have? What if I was being looked out for? And remember this, my Democrat opponent was Gabrielle Giffords, the one who got shot in the head. The guy who shot Gabrielle Giffords in the head and shot all those people, he did this 3 weeks after I lost the election to her. They recounted the votes. It took him a week because the election was so close. She ends up winning. She's in public giving a speech at a Safeway, a grocery store. She's giving a speech at a Safeway surrounded by staffers. This dude comes up, tries to assassinate her, shoots her in the head, shoots all these friggin' people. All right? This guy was not a Republican. He wasn't a Democrat. He was a nutball who wanted to kill someone famous. What if that was me? I would have been the newly elected congressman. I don't know that I would have been in Safeway, but like all politicians, I would have been standing. I would have been announcing, hey, I'm doing a town hall here, something there. What if that was me? I don't know why I didn't go. But I know if God wanted me in Congress, I would have been in Congress. And I'm much, much happier now anyway. One, I don't have to talk to anybody. I don't have to go to large events all the time and talk to a lot of people. I just get to talk to you for 3 hours and then I get to go home. I don't have to travel all over, ask people for money all the time. That was the worst. I don't want to ask freaking people for money all the time. This is a much better life, in my opinion. I don't want to be in politics. What I do want is for you to start taking natural herbal supplements from Chalk. That's what I want, because they'll make your life better. Chalk has changed my life. Again, this morning, woke up, Aub was gone, so it was breakfast taco time. Breakfast tacos, male vitality stack from Chalk. Glorious. I have so much more energy now. My mind works better, although you may not be able to tell. My mind actually works better. It's like a fog clears out of your mind the longer you take it. You get your T levels jacked through the roof. You are just a better man in every possible way. Ladies, they have stuff for you too. Female vitality stacks for you. Male vitality stacks for the men. And it's subscription time. Don't pay full price. Go to chalk.com/Jesse and get a subscription. You're about to feel better. Chalk.com/Jesse. Now, there's something else I wanted to address about that question I just got asked. Corruption. I'm going to explain what just happened to me. I got a message yesterday. I'm going to read it to you, because it helps explain a lot of the propaganda campaigns you see. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.